Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You were snaking me, throwing me under the bus.
Damn.
And he
sounds quite direct.
He laid it on me and he was like, it's not okay the way you're going about your business. It's really snaky. Throw me under the bus, try and get ahead. Like, you're gonna.
Yeah, he didn't talk about it as much though. I think it kind of just glossed over.
Mate, so literally, I hope Aaron's okay with me saying this. I'm sure he is.
Eating with my ex, guys. Eating with my ex. Brett was on Eating with My Ex on BBC
3.
And BBC 3. I watched it last night.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, man. What do you think? They literally sat in a room and they're like, hi. And they're like, hi. That's their, they have no relationship. There's nothing going on there. So for them to put them on the sofa and say, oh my God, what happened with this? And they're like,
it's just giving, it's forced.
It was so forced.
Oh, I did want to tap into Fashion Week. So let's get into that. Let me get comfortable with this because I don't know if I'm going to address this. But let's get into it, guys. I'm looking at this one, right? I'm over it. My podcast, guys, is back. I'm in a studio and I'm here with none other than Love Islander Brett. How you doing?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Thanks.
I can't believe you're here. This was organized so last minute. The way I messaged you and within 24 hours, we're here.
That's it.
That's all I need. I was like, yes, let's just get into this. And I am not used to all these cameras. And
mate,
not,
it's only two. Come on.
I know. But cameras and podcasts, men and podcasts just don't go well together.
Oh, no. I'm trying to get that out of them.
There's so many embarrassing men out there. So it just doesn't even feel right doing all this stuff. But here I am. Here you are. How are you doing?
Good. It's been busy. Obviously, had the little thing on Wednesday and then straight into Fashion Week. So
straight non-stop. Into Fashion Week. Bro, we're going to get into it. Don't worry. We're going to get into it. But I want to start way back.
Yeah.
But when we obviously knew you, which is from Love Island. Now, obviously, you came in quite last minute, unfortunately, on the show, because a lot of Love Islanders don't like that. I don't know if that really irritated you.
It did. So they took us all out to Mallorca to do an isolation. They call it cast holding because of COVID situation and all that. So we're in a villa for at least 2 weeks.
Right.
And then after that 2 weeks is up, they're like, right, any day now you can go in. But it's very reactionary to how the show is going. So someone might leave, someone might come in, and then they're like, pick someone from cast holding to go in.
Interesting.
So I was I was there during Casa Amor, sat in quarantine thinking, oh man, it's getting late now. I don't know how long I'm going to be on the show. And then obviously 2 weeks, it was literally the weekend coming up to 2 weeks to the end of the show. And they're like, yeah, you're getting in on Sunday. So it was a bit frustrating, I'm not going to lie, because I knew the situation I was going into was going to be very hard to infiltrate.
Right.
But it is what it is.
You literally had two weeks left of you going in this. Your impact was going to be minimal.
Yeah. And it was obviously you want to have as bigger impact as you can and make the most of the opportunity. But I was sat at home thinking, man, there's literally no one I want to couple up with either.
Lord have mercy.
And you have to send in three girls' names that you are interested in every single day.
There was comments made in the dinner date when we was up in the thing that has been floating around the villa.
Before last the text. Night, this is you, before the text.
Have you heard these comments?
No.
No.
Yeah, so every day the producer will text your chaperone oh, can we have Brett's three now? And I was there I don't know, man.
You don't know?
No, so I just had to send three,
So looking back at your journey specifically.
Yeah.
If you were asked to do it again, would you do it again? In a way that you wouldn't, obviously.
Yeah, of course. I think so, yeah, because.
Oh, you would?
Yeah, had a lot of fun whilst I was there. It didn't come across like that, but I did have a lot of fun.
Okay, cool.
It was a pretty enjoyable time.
Have you watched back everything?
I watched two episodes and I was I'm done.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't watch it back? You weren't curious to see things that, the way you were, okay.
So I was.
Because I was going to ask you, are you happy with how you were edited? But obviously
you
don't know.
No. So it was like, I felt like once I had a character of the boring person, they just ran with it.
It's coming across is almost like, I don't know if there's any salvaging it.
Really?
Screaming.
So all the fun bits that we had, like where we were bombing in the pool and all that crap,
none
put Brett's bit.
Yeah.
Brett's been boring, chatting about something, we'll air that bit.
Right.
And then just jump in the boring bits. And I'm like, I watch it back as I don't need to watch it, I was there. Like, I know how everyone else reacted to me, so...
Right, so you only watched two episodes and you were, like,
dumped. So, yeah, so when we got dumped, and then we did the live show in Mallorca, they were like...
For Love Island After Sun.
Yeah, okay. They were like, can you watch back some of the episodes? Because obviously we need
have you some
to know
knowledge
what's going on.
What's
yeah.
going on.
And I literally watched back the one we got dumped, and I was with Priya the whole time, like, in that period
in
after the show.
In isolation. Yeah. Okay,
after,
cool.
Before
That's
After
quite
Sun.
Intense.
And,
well, like both of you to be in a position, wait.
For us, so we were literally sat like this, watching... Priya be mean to me and have watching our situation back, and I'm literally there like this, like, and she's obviously like very nervous,
yeah,
and a bit guilty because it's the first time I'd seen her look down the camera and say that stuff, and with the girls and say that stuff, because obviously when you're there you don't see the beach hut stuff, so it was the first time I'd seen it all, and we had a bit of a few hours like where it was rough between us, we had a few arguments and stuff, but after that I was like, I don't really want to watch anymore anyway.
That's quite intense, especially yeah. if you're coming off a situation where you guys obviously weren't that great.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're put into a room for isolation for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh no, we had to live together for the whole week after.
Oh wow, for a whole week?
Yeah, we got dumped on the Sunday and then the after sun was the next Sunday. So
you
like,
don't separate?
You can live together. No. So when I watched that back after a couple of days, Aaron Simpson also got dumped, and I called him and told him like all the situation.
Like, hello, like, can you help me?
And he was like, mate, call ITV, get yourself in another villa, like get out of there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, do you know what, I've got a couple of days and then I'm home. So
what was intriguing to me is that I think you were one of the few islanders, I think I saw you mentioning it, that you chose to wear your own clothes, specifically
yeah.
clothes from other companies.
Yeah, yeah.
So was that something that was easy for you to do?
Yeah, so we had like three or four meetings with the producers beforehand, and I was really keen to get the contract to see what the situation was with the sponsors.
Right.
Because they're brands that I would never work with. I distanced myself from them a few years ago. And I was like, is it an issue if I just bring my own clothes and don't accept any? And they're like, it's totally fine. But if you do wear them, then the sponsors are able to basically like screenshot the TV and use your image however they like.
Right. If you don't wish to wear them, there's like a lack of
they
usage.
Can't, yeah, they. I'm not wearing their clothes, so they're not going to use
they're
me
on They're not
going to
use you on a website, or you won't be seen as much
exactly.
with the images. Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, of course you didn't watch yourself back as much, but like, was there anything that you felt that people didn't see of you?
Yeah, I think, like I say, like...
I mean, it's always going to be frustrating in hindsight. Yeah. But like,
it's really
like,
frustrating. And even the arguments that we have, or like the conversations, I think it was the day that Priya friend-zoned me. And like, I'd had a chat with Aaron.
When she was saying she got the ick or something.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That day, like throughout the day, when the boys told me, and I was like, do you know what? I think Teddy was great with me that day as well. And he came up and was like, bro, like, don't change to try and meet up, like to try and reach
yeah.
and get something to
yeah.
go with Priya. And he was like, you are fun. You're not boring. Like, don't let people tell you you're boring. Cause
so
you're not.
You felt like you were...
Yeah, it was like, you know when people like project on you and you feel like
you were
shit,
the wrong.
Like that is me.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe I'm boring and all that
yeah.
stuff. And Teddy came over and was like, mate, don't change too much to like try and get with someone. Like, that's their issue, it's not you.
Oh, that's a nice one to do.
Yeah, mate, it was great. And the same with like Aaron as well and Tyler. They were like, look, you've gone out your way to try and make this work. Like, don't keep going and keep forcing it. And I was like, do you know what, it is tiring, like doing it all day, every day for like 3 or 4 days in a row. So I'm like, maybe I'm ready to step away too. But they don't air any of that. And then they air just Priya saying, I want to be friends. And me going, like a complacent yes man.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, fuck man. That was a bit more even than they aired.
Yeah.
Which is straight. But
so would you do reality TV again? Knowing that there's some kind of possibility that you come off in a way that you may not like.
Yeah, it's that control of narrative, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm kind of done with it. Obviously, we've got something else to come, but when that's done and
right.
I think reality TV is...
Were there any... Now, maybe this is me being messy, but was there any arguments or anything that took place with Priya or anybody else that we may not have seen?
Yeah, there was some things that you definitely didn't see. I wouldn't say it was like an argument or anything.
Or
but
tension.
Yeah, there was tension. Yeah. So the first...
Hidden tension.
So literally I arrived.
Right.
I had to get to know everyone.
Right.
And then like 2 hours later, I was on a date with Priya.
Right.
So in that process, I'm like, right, I'll go talk to Millie. I'll go talk to Mary. I was just trying to talk to everyone as best as I can because I've got literally a week, like 2 weeks to get it going.
Literally, you have 2 weeks.
So I was like, right. I said to the guys, like, I'm going to grab two at a time and like we'll try and like kill two birds with one stone so I can test the water. And they were like, mate, you're brave, like taking the girls two and a go. So I was sat down with Millie and Mary and I was basically talking to Millie because I missed like 4 episodes of the show in the process of going in. So I don't really know the situation between Millie and Liam, situation with anyone really. And so I started talking to Millie. I was like, do you know, like, how's it going since the Castro Moore thing? You know, it was really rough. Like, I watched
very
it.
Very rough for her, yeah.
Yeah, she I was like, I was watching it and I was like, victim. I just, purely from an innocent but inquisitive stance, like, you know, what's the deal with you and Liam now? Are you good? Or, because, you know, from we was watching at home, I was saying, like, you know, it looked bad, like, you didn't come off, like, in the nicest situation. And then I got a text and I was like, right, sorry, I'm going to take Priya on a date because she did catch my eye. So I come home from the day, debrief the boys,
right,
and all on that swing. And Liam goes, can we have a chat? And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, sweet. Just me and Liam were having a chat. And he's like, you know, I think you were snaking me, throwing me under the bus.
Damn.
And he like
laid... That sounds quite direct.
He laid it on me. And he was like, this, like, it's not okay the way you're going about your business. It's really snaky, throwing me under the bus to try and get ahead. Like, if you're going to do this with all the girls, then it's not going to work out with you being like one of the boys. And I was like, honestly, not the situation. I wasn't trying to throw anyone under the bus.
I mean, you purely, must be quite blindsided by it because you're a newbie.
Completely. And the first thing you want to do is try and fit in, especially with the lads.
Especially with the lads.
So,
especially we have 2 weeks left.
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
And we're
like,
sleeping in the same room. Like, come on. So I had to like say, like, honestly, I'm sorry that it came across like that. It wasn't the situation. And he was like, all right, fair enough. Like, shook hands, but it definitely was an icy start. And it was then difficult to then go and integrate with all the boys. So I actually grabbed all the boys after that and said, lads, I'm sorry how that came across. That's not how I'm going to go about my business. I just wanted you all to know that. Like, I'm not trying to like poach you, poach your girls from you. So, but again, like, that kind of stuff sticks for a day or so.
It sticks for, especially longer in your mind.
It's in the back of their minds that when I'm talking to anyone, they're like, maybe he's throwing me under the bus.
Or maybe he's going to steal my girl. Exactly. Maybe he's coming to do that. That's his mission. There's only 2 weeks left. Finale, I want the coin. Exactly. Or I want to win.
So it was hard for the next few days to integrate. And that's why me and Priya were kind of forced to spend a lot of time together early on.
Why would it be hard? Why was it hard to integrate? Because of that issue?
I think there was that, just the standoffishness.
They kind of just, like, secluded you.
Yeah, I think so. It might have been in the back of their minds, and so
they just prefer to like leave you out of conversations.
Yeah, occasionally, yeah.
It's quite intense.
Yeah, a bit. Right. I stand up for it.
So like, just in like, you can't leave the environment.
No, there's no privacy. There's no. I got on really well with Tyler and Aaron. Aaron was great because he was like the next new one in before me, and so I'd go and try and have a chat with him, and we'd like try and take our microphones off and get in the pool and try and have some privacy. And Tanner's like, if you're going to talk in the pool, can you go to microphones, please?
Wow. Yeah.
So just trying to
sneak
in.
You don't know what time it is as well, and I'm going to just deviate, but that really irks me. Man. If I don't know the time in the villa, I'm going to go mad. How do you not go mad?
We get woken up by that lights, and they're literally like these. It's like dental lights.
Jesus.
And we're there like this, and we think it's probably midday-ish. But then the town's like, oh, can you start to wake up now? Ask everyone how they are, blah, blah, blah. And then we get outside and it's already absolutely baking. And we're like, it's easy. It must be 1 p.m. now, surely. But then at night, we film so, so late. Like the dumpings, the recouplings and stuff, it's so late.
I don't get that because I only have to retake some of that stuff from what I've heard.
A bit, yeah. Someone might trip over their words, or there'll be a bird or like a wind and you don't hear the audio very well, and it's just like, oh, can you just sit down, stand up, say it again?
So are there like a lot of people behind the cameras that we don't see?
No, we don't see any people at all.
So how do they tell you through the
tannoy in the villa?
Oh, okay, cool, you said, yeah.
So yeah, they're just like, can you just hold on a sec, we're going to check back the footage, make sure everything's fine, and then we're there. So those shots where we're all sat there like this and we're like,
that's
just us waiting. But they add them in to add suspense to like the situations. Yeah. Watching it back, and I'm like, I don't know. I think we saw people like roll their eyes and stuff. I'm like, that didn't happen at all.
Right.
Just little bits like that.
So it's interesting that your little like tiff with Liam was not shown to anyone.
Not at all.
And that he was given this very good edit post.
Yeah.
Being a Casa More bad boy, and then they ended up winning the show.
Potentially, but I mean,
stuff like that, I do feel like
credit to him though. That like after 2 or 3 days passed, he became more friendly. I think I could see that him and Millie were great anyway. And
but I think the audience would have benefited from seeing that.
Potentially.
Or just seeing a lot of different scenes that we weren't seeing.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes when I was watching it and reviewing it, some things weren't adding up to me. And I just feel like these like filler scenes would help. Yeah. And I know they only have an hour or so to fill everything in.
That's it.
But sometimes they replace it with scenes that we don't want to see.
Like, yeah, I got this. Someone else was saying this, like, when I'm reading tweets about the situation, like, oh my God, why are we seeing more of this situation? Like, we're done, we're over it. And I'm like, that wasn't even a thing. When we were there, no one even thought about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, there were a lot of things that kept showing all the time. Yeah.
Mostly and, like, me being boring. Like,
yeah, it was like, I do feel like your edit wasn't that great.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And even the introduction where you're sitting on the...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sun lounger. Oh,
sun lounger.
God, I hated it
and
so
you're
much.
Tanning and you're like that. And I'm just like,
it was, think natural.
They were like wanting you to get roasted. And like everybody was like, roasting you, including me. I was just like,
with the glass, like, cheers. I don't even drink, man. Why
like,
am
like, you white boys, and everybody like kind of walked out. Like, I don't know,
and
man.
The cough really fucking annoyed me. I literally sat down, went.
Oh, yeah, you
got
kept doing it. Yeah.
Got comfortable,
you did it once,
and
twice.
Then lay there. And then I watched it back, and it's like, oh, the girl's there. And then I've been sunbathing for a couple minutes and then cough. They're like, oh, like 50 meters away. They're never gonna hear that. Like, why would I cough?
You did keep coughing, but did they hear you because of the coughing, or did somebody tell you?
Someone just I think maybe they got someone in their ear that said maybe you should look outside.
Yeah, this is what I think
because they went outside. None of them looked over the balcony, so I was just waiting there. So
but
I think
this
they
is
got
what producers do. They like to. I think it's more evident to us as the viewers that they're mingling a lot now. Because for Priya to speak to Faye right before you guys got dumped was so evident that obviously producer told her. I mean, I'm not mad at that because it definitely geared some dramatic effects and something to an extent. But at least make it look more authentic. And I don't think she did. And I feel like the producers. I feel like she should have done that anyways.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I think she should have done it anyways. Because that night was such a blur, and we're all like saying, we're a bit sad, we're saying byes and all that stuff. And I'm like, no one really knows how to work it all out. And we're not actually allowed to talk about the production at all.
No, it's like
they did not let
can't
us.
Break.
So it was, so it was like they did not let us tell anyone who we voted for. And the voting situation, they scattered us all around the villa, like some of us indoors, some of us upstairs, some in the garden, miles away from each other, so none of us could confer. And we texted our votes in, and then me and Priya sat next to each other, not even allowed to talk to each other about it.
Interesting.
At all.
Because after you guys left, that whole voting situation or voting for which couple you think is least compatible, it definitely set the villa off.
So why are you shaking your head?
No, speak. No, I'm letting him speak. Yeah. I'm such shit.
And you, on outside or in, are a different person, and you're me off right. Now.
Are you all right?
I've got so much to say, cuz.
If I was saying something different over here, then you could come at me like that. And I stand by my opinion.
Hey,
like,
gave them a week of content they needed before
like,
the final.
Exactly. You know, Kaz versus Aaron, you had Faye versus literally everyone in the villa. Like, it was just ludicrous. Like, it was just, it was like everybody's minds were self-destructing, and people were in there for a while, and they got paranoid, and they were upset with the voting. So I think stuff, techniques like that, I don't know, because they, stuff like that, I think, helps the show.
It helps
with,
the show.
With narratives,
because
that is what obviously we as viewers want to see, and they gave a lot of that early in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
because this new season coming upon us, I don't know if you've seen it, but they're adding a lot of changes.
Yeah, I don't know what changes they make.
So they mentioned that it's going to last for 2-3 weeks longer.
So it's gonna be like 10 weeks.
Yeah, it's a long time. And then they're gonna bring a lot of LGBTQ plus contestants.
Good, because I made some comments about that as well. And I asked them during the casting process as well.
Yeah, 100%, because it needs to be from the top as well as from the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
But how do you think that will work for the show? I'm confused with how would that would integrate with the format.
I don't know. The
production, of course, a lot to think about, and they'll know. But like,
I was really like amazed at the actual scale of the production. It's, you know, when you're watching at home, mate, it is so much bigger than you think. The production, it's enormous.
Like a huge team.
The teams are massive. You've got like tech teams, cameras, vans, absolutely everywhere. Obviously, you've got another villa for Castro Moore. All of our private villas for quarantining, chaperones, management. Mate, it's enormous. The production. I think extending it by another 2 or 3 weeks, you might start to lose people if it's not like always going.
Always. That's what I'm saying. It's
like after Castle Moore, months, everyone's like, that sorts itself out. And then we're like, we're another 3 weeks to the final. You know?
Apparently,
like,
they're removing that as well.
Oh, really?
And they're adding something else to it. Or they're going to do that and put something else to it. And I'm just like, I'm just intrigued to know what they're going to do.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they're probably looking at like the too hot to handle situation.
Yeah, I actually haven't watched the latest season. I don't know if you
have. I haven't seen the latest season. I've met a couple of the people and I'm aware of it, but
it's very predictable.
The exposure on that show
is huge. It's massive. Because it's like cross country, like you've got US, Australia.
Yeah. And so I think they might be taking a little snippets from other shows that have been successful to try and like rejuvenate the Love Island series.
Personally, Top to Handle, I am done with it already.
I think
it's just the idea of you can't have sex, therefore, you know, you lose money. Like, we know the basis of the game and it's just one specific task. It's not multitasked. It's multi-challenges.
You know.
So I think for me, I didn't even know the third season was on. I didn't even know it was coming.
No, it's just always on. The Netflix give it a really good push. You know, it's interesting that a few of the Love Islanders from my season, including me, was asked to go and do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they don't tell you what it's called. They call it...
they don't tell you. I've heard this.
They call it Parties in Paradise.
Yeah, something like mysterious, so you can't tell anyone.
Like, you know, it's a dating show and it's set in this exotic place and there's people from all over the world. And I'm like, this sounds great for me because I've been around.
Oh,
like,
so looking back at it, do you think you should have gone on that?
If they'd have told me what it was, no.
Yeah.
The whole show is just around sex.
Yeah.
Like, the whole show is sex.
Do you know who else was asked from your season? Anybody that you made?
I believe Sharon was asked and a couple of the other ones. I can't remember who. But yeah, when I brought it up, they were like, oh yeah, we got asked for that as well.
Yeah, Georgia's done well for herself post the show. Funny, in terms of the way she articulates herself.
Yeah.
Especially on Twitter.
She's smart and she's funny and she's sarcastic. And
yeah, and her,
great.
Like, her little TikTok videos. Yeah. You just see her popping up here and there.
Yeah, she's a breath of fresh air, man. I wish she had a better edit. She was there longer so people could see her personality.
Yeah, her face when Hugo was doing that speech for Chloe, I was just like, it's just so unfair on her. But I do think you guys who've been on the show for a very limited time, you guys have done well.
I appreciate it.
With the time that you obviously have, because you don't have a lot of time and you don't want to work with it now.
Yeah.
Yes, Love Island has become a career-related situation where you know you're going to get something from it.
Yeah.
So those who have a limited time need to be clever.
You have to be proactive. You have to use it as a catalyst for what you want to do. I think Georgia and I and a few of the other ones, we knew in our heads what we wanted to do anyway.
Yeah.
I was happy. I said this before. I was happy if I went on and I lasted a day and left and I got one follower from it and I got no expo, no articles or nothing. Mm. I went home and went back to my old job. I'm content. Because I'm happy with what I was doing already.
It's so interesting because obviously our premonition of how you are on a show is so different to how you are post the show. There's such a disparity.
Yeah.
And it's insane how a narrative and what editing can do to make you look like somebody that you're actually not.
I know. Oh my God. And getting abuse about things for something that you aren't.
Like people accusing you of being a Tory. Like that must have been when... Like, 20,
my friends were losing their shit online. I came home like, mate, I had to literally log off of Facebook because I was losing my head.
They must have been a lot.
Yeah.
Brett. Like...
Yeah, yeah. It was rough coming home. And in that quarantine bit after, before After Sun, I got on a call with the publicist and they kind of, you have 3 days before you get your phone back.
Right.
So they can prepare you for what you're about to read and all this stuff. And I remember being on the phone with the publicist and she was like, it's been quite bad for you. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah,
probably. Somebody's
like,
only been on for 2 weeks.
Exactly. And they were like, you know, I have all the boys, we need to tell you about like the things you're going to read.
See, I was, from your inside, you must have been like, what the hell? But like, from my perspective, I'm not surprised by you getting a lot of
it. Yeah. But I was, like, I have to say, unfortunate. I was really appreciative of my brother. Like, he did a great job running my socials whilst I was away.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
To, like, for someone to have.
But also to read shit about your appearance.
Yeah.
And it's his appearance as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. The fact that you guys are twins.
And deal with it. But he was good. He took the stance of, you know, if we're first to the joke and we laugh at ourselves first, it like diminishes any kind of abuse that we're going to get because we're in on it ourselves.
Because you were seen as a Tory, you were, the way your introduction was, the boring edit. And of course, we're all thinking of you like, who is this newbie? We want new good people. Like, this is, that's why everybody, including me, were like, what's going on?
And I was like, it was the walk in, the sit down, I was just like straight away, like, this is cringy as shit and it's just not me. Do you know what? The bit that really got me was, you know, the heart rate challenge where we're all dancing on each other. Funniest night there, by a mile. We all had a great time. It was hard and nerve-wracking because it's really fucking embarrassing. But after, we had the best time. We all laughed about it. And me and Kaz, obviously, are really good mates. And that thing was so funny to us because I got her heart rate up the most.
Yeah.
I'm sat next to Tyler, who I'm really good mates with as well, and it was funny. And then I come home and I'm reading tweets like, you know, the reason Kaz's heart rate was so high is because she's got a Nazi climbing all over her and a white supremacist and she's scared shitless and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, that was such a funny night and we had the best time.
Yeah, it's because of a white supremacist, just because of a heart rate challenge. Eating with my ex, guys. Eating with my ex. Brett was on Eating with My Ex on BBC
3.
And BBC 3. I watched it last night.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, man, what do you think?
Nervous?
No, not at all.
Really?
No. Are you taunting me?
I'm just curious.
Are you nervous?
Not one bit.
No. Cool as a cucumber.
I do think You Saw Enough was dramatic, but...
Right, same.
But I liked it. Just because I purely think of it from a production perspective, I don't always think of it from an audience, because I review shows.
Yeah.
So I want some... These Eating With My Ex shows... A lot of the time, they don't get confrontational about stuff. It's minute issues, and then they move on. And I want something that's like, you know, like US-related TV, because I feel like here in the UK, we're very hypercritical.
Yeah.
Whereas in the US, they deal with a lot of dramatic stuff on TV, and it's just, that's what it's known for. And we don't really, like, when you get that here, everybody becomes really upset. But it's also like, you want it. So it's a bit of both. So it was good TV.
Okay, that's good. Okay,
like, I enjoyed it from a producer perspective. I thought this is, if I was filming that, I'm thinking this is great. Like, people are going to watch this.
So me and my brother watched it back.
And what did you think of it?
Online. The storming off was more dramatic than it was. Because we had like an actual altercation of going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards over and over again. And then I storm off.
Right.
But they aired it where it's like, oh, it was just one little thing and then I get up and walk off. So it was actually worse than they aired.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do think that...
And the producers... I didn't go outside. I went downstairs to the toilet and the producers like literally chased me like, please, will you come and finish the show?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And like, we're getting nowhere.
It was all authentic. At least you weren't like... Yeah. At least you weren't told to storm off.
Mate, I was sat there thinking, we'd be able to actually resolve this. And she wouldn't meet me halfway in saying, I've filled you in on it. She wouldn't meet me halfway and say the things that I wanted her to say fully. And so I was like, right, we're fucking getting nowhere. So I'm done. What's the point?
But did you admit it to it on the show? What she was?
No. So she goes, my mind was elsewhere.
Basically elsewhere, entertained by someone else. And then obviously...
That's the only word I wanted this to include. Someone.
Yeah, so that's when I was watching
it. I don't know if anyone will get that from watching this.
Right.
That's why I was annoyed.
I think one thing that would irritate me from what she was saying was... I've been very transparent with you. But then obviously if you haven't been transparent, because you can see how upset I am...
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So I was smiling at her and
clearly intimidated by somebody else prior to coming into the show. So it's like, you know, you're not giving me like clarity or whatever. But then she says she isn't. So of course, I don't know whose opinion to take. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah,
but I can understand your frustration from when somebody says, "I've been clear with you," but clearly you haven't because you were seeing someone allegedly like outside of the show.
Yeah,
prior to even coming in, so your mind was never even on me, anyways. You were just like, you weren't there for anything authentic. You were just there for watch time or something like that. Yeah. And therefore, I'm going to be upset by it. And then you're not realizing it.
But do you know what?
I see that frustration as well.
But
maybe she believes she has been transparent. I don't know.
We filmed. And then she texts me after film. We filmed like all day. She texts me after like, come over, we need to talk. So we then had another little like face-to-face situation.
And it's just not getting well. And did you guys...
It still didn't end well.
Really? No. Because it seems like the problem is there and you just kind of just like get over it and just apologize if that's what she needs to do or if she feels like you need to and you just guys move on, but it's not amicable.
No, like we haven't spoken for like, I think the show just before, I texted her once because I felt bad. Someone on a Reddit thread made me feel really bad. So I texted her to check in with her.
Not the Reddit threads.
Honestly.
Not Reddit.
That honestly, so like... Oh, man, it got me. Like, this Reddit thread got me. So I checked in with her to check that she was all right, and she'd unfollowed me and all this stuff, and I'd done, I think, 2 tweets about her.
Mm.
And so I said, look, you know, they're in like, banterish nature. I don't mean any, I'm not going to try and drag you or anything like that.
Mm.
And she was like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. She was in Costa Rica, I think, with people.
It was damn, so you guys just can't, you know...
It's not going to work.
So Priya walked in right now, you'd just be storming off.
Fuck this, but maybe.
Like, do this.
No, yeah, so it is what it is. Like, I'm fine, all the best, whatever.
That Love Island review, I'm so sorry. It was an absolute mess.
Why was it there?
I have no idea.
You've been doing so many other things out there.
Man. Because I don't know why everybody sits on tables like we're in Starbucks. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, genuinely, it should have been a proper reunion. Laura in the middle, or another presenter in the middle, and everybody on the side... And you're properly addressing situations.
Like, give us, like this. Like, tell us the things that happened we didn't see. And why you reacted like that.
Yeah, like, it would have been nice to have seen you and Priya having these conversations on the reunion stage as well. Something like that. Yeah. Like, all of it was very dismissive. And it was very quick.
But I think even, like, the situation with Lily and Millie and Liam, there was no real need to do that. Like, they're fine. Lily's got no motive. They literally sat in a room and they're like, hi. And they're like, hi. That's their, like, they have no relationship. There's nothing going on there. So for them to put them on the sofa and say, oh my God, what happened with this? And they're like...
It's just giving, like, it's forced.
It was so forced.
Like, of course you would address it. It's the main narrative on the story, regardless, and they're all cast members.
But they're still trying to hold on to something.
Still, it's like, it's already been rinsed.
Yeah.
And nothing you can do about it. Whereas there were other conflicts that there was a lot to, like, talk about.
Wait, the Hugo, Amy, Georgia, Sharon thing...
And then Kaz and Tyler not being asked to sit on the thing and the sofas, and they were obviously finalists. And like,
it was
Aaron and Mary clearly had a lot of tension on that show, on the reunion, and that wasn't really tapped into. It's like, Laura, what are you doing? But of course, there's a production around it, and she's obviously told.
Aaron was great with me as I went in and as I came out, because he was the only person I could call. I came, when we got dumped, he got dumped 2 days later, he was the only person I could call and talk to about. So we kind of confided in each other. Obviously, Mary, bless her, came out to some really rough news.
Right, yeah. About her grandmother.
Yeah, bless, yeah. And, you know, it's like, you got to be there for Mary. It's a really tough situation for her. At the same time, Aaron, like, wants to know what the situation is with him, but he can't be too... I can't put any pressure on Mary at this time at all. So it was really difficult for them, and then we filmed.
Yeah, you have, like, a moral, moral value not to really push something.
Of course, and they're both good people at heart, I believe. But the situation coming out was, I feel bad for Aaron and how it went down, especially with the live show.
He didn't talk about it as much, though. I think it kind of just glossed over.
Mate, so literally, I hope Aaron's okay with me saying this, I'm sure he is. just before we started filming live, he pulled me like behind the caravan, so where we're all getting changed. He's like, mate, I just need to talk to see where we're at, like, because, you know, I don't know if I want to carry this on, like, at home, and hopefully that's how it goes, but she needs to mourn and deal with her situation. And then they filmed the show, and Mary basically, you know, I've got a best friend forever, and I'm there watching it like, what did she just say? Did you say best friend?
So I kind of felt like maybe things were kind of, they're cooling down. I wasn't sure what was going on, Mary. Where are you now?
Yeah, me and Aaron have been really pursued things since we've gotten home. Obviously, I've had quite a lot going on family-wise, so we've just, like, nothing's carried on since we've left the villa.
Aaron, would you have liked there?
I mean, it wasn't my choice, so...
It's so awkward, I don't know. I'm like, do tell, tell more. Okay, Aaron, we're going to move.
Oh, my days.
Are you sure? You've literally just been in bed together for, like, 2 weeks, non-stop.
Yeah, all over each just other. Like, I don't want to deal with this friend zone, just like...
Mm. And I was like...
So he didn't see that coming?
Oh, no.
Okay, this makes sense then, because he looked very, like...
Mate, he held it together.
He I was very, looking, like, disappointed.
I was looking
angry
at the side of his head like, bro, how are you keeping this together?
This is why I'm like, Laura, tap into that, because we need something for this reunion. And I feel like that situation was never really transparent for us. We didn't know what was going on. I mean, clearly he didn't know either. So Mary was just like, sorry, like, this is what I'm going to do. And she didn't communicate that with him prior to going on the show. Damn, so maybe that was a last minute thing for her. Maybe she was just like, this
thing.
Just...
so. Or maybe it was just best, like, I just need to chill on this so I can sort my own stuff out.
Which makes sense.
Which makes sense. Perfect sense. And I would fully endorse and accept that. But it was just, none of us saw it coming in there and then. Maybe it was just those words that come out. You know, when you're live and you're just talking.
You could, like, well, like, verbal diarrhea, and it just kind of came out.
Maybe, yeah.
Or maybe she pre-planned it.
But I hope her and Aaron sorted that out. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's all one of the bridge now because that's
it is.
When did it air? September?
Yeah, it's so
the
long
reunion?
Ago.
Now. Yeah, it was September. Damn.
It's February.
So he had no idea.
Mm.
That's quite scary. Now, I did want to tap into Fashion Week. So let's get into that. Let me get comfortable with this because I don't know how to address this. But like, okay, I shouldn't be saying Fashion Week and London Fashion Week in the same sentence as PLT.
No.
Because I believe London Fashion Week were like, we're not really involved with this.
Yeah, they distanced themselves. I think they started announcing that they were going to be showing during London Fashion Week, and the British Fashion Council were like, you're not at London Fashion Week. You're the same, you're the day before, you're like during the same kind of time, but you're not associated with London Fashion Week.
Wow.
So that's not my comments. People are saying I'm throwing shade, saying it's not real. For London Fashion Week show, it technically isn't.
No, it technically isn't. I didn't see that statement initially. I think I saw yours, and then obviously I saw that as well. I was like, wow, this is actually very, like, apparent.
So London Fashion Week started with the Nicholas Daly show Thursday night.
Right.
Designer from Leicester. Great guy.
Nice. Yeah, you're very, like, well, like, educated with your designers.
Yeah.
So what are you wearing today?
This is from a company called Sheep Inc.
Nice.
It actually has a QR code here, which you can scan, and they assign you a sheep. It's actually carbon positive as well, so it's all natural materials. You know the sheep that this has come from, and you can keep an eye on it.
Interesting.
And all that stuff. My trousers are a sample from Nanushka. That's the thing, a lot of like the outfits you see me wearing are like samples that sometimes don't even get made, and they're there for like shoots and stuff like that, and at the end I'll like, they either get recycled or go, you know, nice, into waste or whatever. So I was like, I'll either buy them or they give.
No, I really like your trousers.
Thanks.
Very nice.
And then my trusty, I get slack for these so much, you know.
They're nice.
I get so much slack. 990s are a staple trainer.
They're very nice. I like the colour.
Thanks.
Back to PLT. Yeah, so you were literally out there protesting. I didn't know you were there. Like, I saw protests. And then I see you with, obviously, a card. I'm thinking, okay, well, to me, it's so interesting because you have a Love Islander inside and then you have a Love Islander outside. And it's just the...
It was rough.
The disparity.
It was a bit rough. So a few days before... I was speaking to Venetia and Maisha, the girls that were organising it, and they were like, we want to do this. I was like, yes, because I did a tweet a while ago, like, someone please tell me where this is going to be. And they were like, would you one want to be involved? I'm like, I'm there. I think this is like 3 days before. And they're like, we need the address because they're keeping it very, very quiet. So I was like trying to tap
PLT
in.
Show. Yeah. Interesting.
So I was trying to tap into my Fashion Week contacts, my manager and my old agents who rep some of the talent, and I actually sent a group text into our Love Island group, like, oh, hey, anyone in London?
Yeah, because I'm sure a lot of them went.
There was only two from our year, cool. So it wasn't too bad, but yeah. Just try and find the address, and luckily through someone, I can't say who, we got the address. The girls got the address, And so we're like, right, we need to start a plan and we need to keep it quiet so they don't know we're coming.
Interesting. You had a whole a man with a plan, baby.
Mate, I wasn't just there.
And you got the plan from within, literally at the stratosphere of PLT world. And then you kind of... Yeah. Don't release your contacts about yourself.
It was orchestrated. Not. It wasn't just like, oh, let's just turn up on the day and like we just have fun. It was we knew exactly
because
what we were
I
doing.
Did think to myself, oh, you know, like, what if Brett actually has friends that are coming to watch this show?
I had a lot of friends there.
Yeah, and some of them were queuing up. Yep. I think to go in, and there were protesters like saying stuff to them. I'm thinking, how do you feel? Obviously, so, there's like different situations here, but you're saying some of those people or people that were their friends, or whatever, kind of helped you with where to even go.
Yeah. Okay. No one in the queue actually. No one in the queue told me. So Kaz was there, and I've spoken about this before. And she actually walked past and wasn't holding the sign. I literally lifted the sign, went, "Love you still," and she was like,
"No, because."
And Salma too. Salma literally texted me in capital letters as soon as she saw me. She clocked me. And she literally sent me a text, like, capital letters, like, "Love you so much, blah, blah, blah." So
that's cool. The thing, like, it's just like, you know, when you're going to a protest about something, then you have friends, like, how do you, like, you know...
I had to address this on my Instagram, on a Reels, because I was getting people commenting, how am I so anti this? And you see, it was Kaz about Primark. And I was like, first and foremost, I support my friends. Like, we don't always
that's
have to
the thing, like, you, it's hard to, friends. Like...
But when it's... a female of colour who's getting paid to do stuff on social media.
Right.
And I'm like, black influencers get a lot less opportunities than white influencers do and get paid substantially less.
Substantially.
So I'd rather my friend go and get their bag than, if it's not her, it's going
to
be someone else.
This is the thing. And if it's not her, it's another white girl. This is what I wanted to tap into. I think the disparities that you pointed out were very good, but also it's the fact that, you know, people who maybe... not liking fast fashion may have also bought items from fast fashion, but also it's because we're just one human in comparison to these vast companies.
Exactly.
Who, you know, have monopolized so much.
It's not
it's
about...
like you can't put them both on the same level playing field. Like, oh my God, you're a hypocrite because you're this, you're a hypocrite because of that. Like, it's not that easy. In fact, the conversation is much more complex.
It is.
And it's become very reductive when you make it into,
it really
you
is.
Bought this item from ASOS, but now you're anti-fast fashion, listen, you're a hypocrite.
Exactly. I mean, like, listen, we've all got fast fashion items in our wardrobes.
All of us.
I have them.
Yeah.
I bought them maybe a few years ago now, but I still have them, but I look after them and I wear the hell out of them and I try and repair them when they break.
Exactly. So some people may not have the time to look and find stuff as they should because they've got such other important ventures.
The sustainable fashion landscape is so much bigger than having to buy something new that's perfect. Hmm. There's so much stuff before that. It's renting, it's borrowing from friends, it's repairing, it's going to charity shops and vintage stores. That's something I absolutely love. And Faye actually loves going to charity shops as too. And it's all of those things. The spectrum is just so, so big. I'm not telling you to go and spend £100 on a blank t-shirt. Like, that's not what I'm trying to tell you to do. I'm like trying to tell you to be aware
just of just be more aware
everything
of it.
Else. And obviously the influencer culture that perpetuates like
oh my days
disposability of clothes.
You said a very good comment about, you know, the diversity was very performative.
Yeah.
They have a lot of women of color who are front screen, but behind the scenes, what about the women of color in these workshops? I think that was a very interesting point because I was like, oh wow, we're seeing Muslim girls on the runway. This is fantastic. But at the same time, it's also like, what about the Muslim girls specifically in these workshops in the UK or outside?
Yeah.
That it's are like, paid nothing.
It's almost like greenwashing for sustainability. It's like performative stuff to like hide all the exploitation behind them. So it's, if you look at all their campaigns, look at all their e-commerce, it is dominated by women of colour. It's dominated by them. And, you know, it's great for... I love the, like, that a girl can see that growing up and say, I can be a model, I can be celebrated, and I can go and achieve what I want to achieve. I'm there for that. You also have to contextualize the brand that that's in front of. And that was the other thing that annoyed us about Molly May's little podcast stuff. It was the lack of context to what she was saying. But on the other side of that, this whole thing is not about Molly May. It's not about her.
Right, it's
the
bigger
press
than...
press put
bigger
our
than,
names together
yeah,
because
bigger,
they have
because
to.
Because of Love Island and stuff like that, but it's bigger than
it's
someone
so
like...
It's so much bigger
than her.
Just her. Not my, if you read the sign, nothing to do with Molly May on the sign. And you look at the tweets and the captions I put... It's about the Kamani family.
Right.
It's about the other greedy billionaires who own the other fast fashion
right.
brands. And the backlash that I'm getting at the moment is all about me trying to further myself. I've never spoke about this before. It's not so, I'm just doing it to stay relevant.
Clout
and all that
or
shit.
Something like that. So where's this backlash coming from? Like Twitter?
Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, chasing around the internet. And there comes a point where it's hard to ignore and you like really feel like you need to defend yourself. regardless of whether I went on Love Island or not, if Venetia messaged me saying we're going to do a protest there, I'm there. My right. brother, if my brother wasn't working, he'd be there. And the other four or five people
there. Yeah, I
mean,
you know where your heart is. You know where your tent is.
I even roped in like four or five of my friends to come along as well.
I think it was a good protest because I think it did bring a lot of media coverage. Because I didn't even know that the appeal to Molly May Shaw was going on. There was a live stream for it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, cool. That was a video that I saw on my suggested box. And then from there, I went on Twitter and I saw like protests and then on TikTok. And then I saw yours as well. So it just kind of helped. I think it was a good way of really putting out a lot of coverage. Because I don't understand what her show was about, because I don't think she designed the clothes. The designer's in the crowd. But then you're sitting there with pictures of, you know, you as a creative director, you're walking out clapping, and it's just, I'm very confused. I didn't understand.
Stop trying to put words in my mouth.
I'm just personally very confused because it's just interesting. And then for London Fashion Week to state that, you know, this is not part of Fashion Week, they obviously want to distance themselves from that image. And then also you want to come out with a resellers marketplace.
Another scam.
Which is another weird situation. And of course, it's not just Pretty Little Thing. There are several companies.
Absolutely.
But it's just, I don't know. I was just, the more I look at the show, the more questions I had about it, I was just very confused.
It's tricky because obviously being in like really deep-ended in the fashion industry, the term creative director is basically you're the boss of this. Above you is just the CEO, essentially, and like the board members.
So the creative director is somebody who's in charge.
You're someone who creates the direction of the brand.
Right.
And it's in the messaging, it's in the storytelling, it's in what kind of clothes you're going to produce. To get to that point, you are a designer first, you've made clothes with your hands, and you've been to school for years to study that and done internships and all that. To get to the top of like Kim Jones, who probably a name that people have known, Virgil Abloh, those kind of people. Like Kim went to Central St Martins here in London. He did internships. He's worked at loads of other brands too, before then becoming creative director at Louis Vuitton and then moving over to Dior now. That process takes years and years and years to get to the top of a creative director at a brand like that.
So to get it like that is just privilege, because it's like, what do you have, especially at 22 years?
It is, but I can understand why, because they're engines for each other. The Molly May engine becomes the engine for the
For PLT.
Pretty Little Thing Boohoo engine, who then creates more influencers from the Molly May engine, and they just work symbiotically together.
And all
PR is good PR, together.
I guess, and all negative energy can help them.
It's like
make it
our followers and their followers, let's create something great and sell loads of it.
It's interesting to me that I'm not entirely sure if she hasn't designed the collection, but if apparently the designer was in the crowd, none of it makes sense.
I think brands like that have a design team. And she might be the leader of that team, but title means so much in the fashion industry.
That's what I'm saying. It has such a heavy weight.
It does. It really, really does.
Such a heavy weight. Because I have a good friend in the fashion industry called Laquan Smith. So
amazing.
He is doing really well.
Yeah,
amazing. And, you know, being with him in France, following around for Fashion Week, and then when he came to London, and, you know, I'm good friends with his assistants, and, you know, his literally, like, the people that get everything going, the machine behind getting a runway show going, it's insane. Like, they do so much hard work. They're dedicated. They do not sleep. Wake up early meetings. Like, to see him do all the stuff and then suddenly you're a creative director, it just you're trying to make everything simple.
Yeah.
And it's not simple in the
fashion
world.
They're trying to put them side by side.
No.
And they're just worlds apart. This resale platform thing as well. Do you know what's funny? I watched back Stephen Bartlett's Dragon's Den thing where he invested in Little Loop, which is a sustainable fashion business. And he says in that you know, he's working with these big fast fashion brands, and even they're working on resale things now. And now we know that it was the Pretty Little Thing one.
Interesting.
And first of all, their garments aren't made to last that long. If I buy something for £2.50, is it worth my time and effort to go and put it on a resale platform?
Definitely.
And get a pound for it?
Definitely not.
No. The other thing is that
it's not worth your money.
Most
it's
of the fashion is trend-led. So it's not going to stay in people's minds long enough to be resold either.
True.
It's not good enough quality either to
for something to wear.
But also, what people probably overlook is that it's a cash grab for Pretty Little Thing, because Depop are taking their coin at the moment. because yeah, all the PLT stuff that does get resold is probably through Depop.
Right.
And so now they've gone, we're going to take that back.
Oh,
we're going to keep it in-house.
We've realized that Depop have become quite big in the last three years. Because they used to be quite small.
Yeah. And Depop drama and all that.
Yeah.
Now they're going to have their own and they're going to take back their coin from Depop. Take back
that community. And
take that little commission again.
Because the majority of clothes on Depop probably are going to be Boohoo PLT.
Yeah, Depop, listen, great. It's done so much for like a resale platform and keep clothes in circularity and all that stuff. But the Boohoo, the only way they'll make a change is if they reduce their output by about 90% and go from there.
And what do you mean by that?
No brand that big, no matter what initiative, no matter what materials they use, will ever be sustainable when you create billions of garments a year. End of. Simple as that. Your business model, it is not set up to be sustainable from the get-go. So you can make everything from natural fibers, still won't work. You have too much shit.
So do you think those factories are still ongoing in the UK?
Yes.
And there's quite a few of them. And then it's not probably not just Leicester then.
No.
Probably a few more all over. And they claim that they didn't know that people were getting paid.
They can distance themselves from them because they're like... I think that's what
they were trying to do.
Yeah. So when it all came out, they distanced themselves by saying that they're not their factory. They don't own that factory. They're like external contracting the factory. Yeah. So it's there. It's whoever owns the factory, it's them. Mm. But when you're making clothes at a crazy rate to satisfy you as the customer, you're responsible.
Yeah.
Either way, you're responsible.
And you know what's going on.
And so they're like, we're going to create change. We're going to make our own factory. It's going to be perfect. It accounts for literally 1% of your whole business.
Interesting.
Maybe less, probably less.
Corrupt.
Yeah.
From within.
Not to mention, they can't even map their supply chain.
Mm.
It's not possible to. So there's so many tangents of their business model that's just not going to work.
Interesting. Last question before I wrap this up. I did see something... I think it was on TikTok or was it on Twitter or something, and I think somebody saw you wearing Nike shoes or something like that, and they were like, oh, you're wearing Nike, but they have, the way they treat their workers is far worse than PLT.
Yeah.
So when people put you in these predicaments,
they try and catch me out
and try and catch you out, how does that make you feel, especially if somebody who's very passionate about sustainability? How do you tackle that? Because they may have a point, but it's also like you're just doing it to catch me out and be a hypocrite, but aren't we all hypocrites to an extent anyways?
It's first of all, I try not to immediately try and go and defend myself.
Right.
The thing I want people to understand is that no one is perfect.
100%.
You can have the best sustainable fashion activist. They're not perfect.
Yeah, like I used to watch Mike Town. Really
right? Perfection doesn't exist. I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I've made changes. I've moved house. I've sold my car. I've changed energy provider. I've changed my diet. I've stopped eating meat. There's all these things. You're
trying the best of your abilities.
Yeah, but I don't go and put that all on someone and say, you need to do this too. If you want to work... in the same space, you need to do that. You don't need to do that. Make the changes you're comfortable with making. But
they'd love to do that.
Yeah.
And I think it's
like, you're not perfect. Yeah. So how can you... I'm like, first of all...
They're trying to do
it. The Nike trainers I've got on, I've had 5 years.
Yeah, they're trying to do a lot.
It's not fast fashion.
They're trying to do a lot.
Yeah. There might be some ethical issues.
Yeah.
But I bought them and I look after them and I wear them to death and I get as much use out of them as possible. And I try not to buy them new. I try and buy them secondhand anyway. So there's these changes, those little things, but it comes from that just online culture, one of trying to be relevant, one of trying to be the social pressure of having something new every time you post a picture and all those things. It's that mindset that we need to change more than anything.
No, definitely. I feel like for me personally, you've definitely brought a lot of awareness. Just when I see things, I just think about it, I didn't think about this as much or we discussed it or initially, especially I did on my channel. When the Leicester shops and everything came into service, it then made me think. But then, it didn't make me think enough about it. I'm like, okay, this is bad. I spoke about it. But then,
great. I think the Leicester thing, it was nice to have, not nice, but it was good to finally have a story that came from England. And it was like, now it's happening here. We care. Like, you can't do this shit in England.
Yeah.
But in 2012, 1,000 people died when a building collapsed where they were making clothes.
In the UK?
In Rana Plaza. In Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Because
we always see our clothes made in Bangladesh. Remember I was in Zara just looking at the labels thinking, how did they actually make this?
And all we think is that's quite far away.
That's quite far away. Was it Eastern to make this? Did they get paid enough? Now you just have these questions in your head and you just become more aware of the clothes you're wearing.
Yeah.
You want it to be from places that aren't.
Yeah. And it was like that story from the UK and I'm like, it's good that this is finally resonating.
Yeah.
Primark. A massive factory in Primark, the workers in that factory were trying to protest their rights. They're being kept in there 24 hours, no food and all this stuff. Do you know what they did? Locked them inside the factory.
Where was this, sorry?
I think he was in China in a Primark factory. They locked him inside. They're processing the rights and they locked him in.
That's insane. Like guinea pigs. There's probably far worse stories than that.
Far worse.
Like
far
it's worse. Insane.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, I'm glad you came.
No, I really appreciate it.
I'm glad we did this.
I really appreciate it.
Like, we spoke about a lot.
Yeah.
The main topics that I wanted to cover, especially the good. PLT stuff.
Yeah.
What's next for you?
I'm going to Milan Fashion. I've got some work
things
here.
Going to Milan this week.
Going to Milan Fashion Week there. Really excited to see some shows. Some really high-end stuff.
And then it goes from New York. It was New York.
It's
and
when then it's Paris after that.
After Milan.
I'm not sure about Paris yet.
Right.
I need to do some work. But literally, on amidst all of this, on Friday, I submitted my PhD thesis as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
What was your PhD thesis in?
Public health and physical activity.
Whilst you were doing on Fashion Week, and whilst you were on Love Island, did you put on pause?
So during Love Island, I literally sent it to all my professors to read through the big document, and then 4 weeks' time, I got it all back so I could make amendments and stuff, so it's all me going at the same time.
Non-stop. It's non-stop for Brett's life, man. But anyways, thank you for coming on.
I appreciate it.
Subscribe to the channel, guys. Brett from Love Island. Hashtag I'm over it. There's so many cameras here. People don't know where to even look, man. Even I don't know where to look at this point. But I'm going to be looking at this camera. But anyways, thank you guys for listening. And thank you, for Brett, for gracing me for your presence.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for the Skybine, who's controlling everything. And we'll definitely catch you guys soon. Click that button and subscribe daily and consistent, guys.